Ziadin Sardar agrees science in the Muslim world is a travesty, but he disagrees with Tenaredis on other matters. For instance, he says the Golden Age of Islam did far more than transmit Greek knowledge. He says Muslim scientists made groundbreaking discoveries in various fields, from optics and astronomy to algebra. And what's needed now, he believes, is what he calls an Islamic science. Steve Paulson talked with Ziadin Sardar.
You have made the controversial claim that Muslims need an Islamic science. What makes you say that?
I think it is only controversial if you think that science has no values. By Islamic science, I mean science that is infused with the ethics and, if you like, morality and values of Islam. Now, if you say that science has no values whatsoever, then this is a controversial statement. But science does have values. The values of science come from a number of different directions. For example, the most obvious direction is funding. Governments fund the kind of research that they want, and their funding reflects their priorities, their emphasis. In other words, it reflects their values.
It certainly reflects what they will end up studying, because funding will be funneled into certain directions. But what about the scientific process itself? I mean, I think if you were to ask most scientists about the work they do, they would say that science is science. It cuts across all geographical and religious boundaries. It's a neutral, value-free methodology.
Well, I think that claim is partially correct. I do believe that the science that is done in a laboratory is pretty objective. But there is a lot that happens before you get to the laboratory. I mean, why should we study certain questions and not certain other questions? Why, for example, should we pursue, say, research on cancer or AIDS, but not research on, say, diarrhea? So essentially what I'm saying is that, yes, science is objective. The results of science have to be applicable across all cultures, and they have to be repeatable, you know, in all time and space. But at the end of the day, science is a human activity.
You have written, and I'm quoting here, Western science is inherently destructive and cannot fulfill the needs of Muslim societies. That's, I mean, I understand what you've just been saying.
That's a pretty strong statement, yes.
A very strong statement.
I like to do that. You see, because that made you sit up and listen. Let us look at some of the recent developments. I mean, genetic research, you know, there's serious concerns. At the end of the day, what we are doing is essentially redefining what it means to be human. If you are going to start playing with the genetic makeup of human beings and start inserting genes, taking genes out, creating designer babies, not creating designer babies, whatever. At the end of the day, what we are actually doing is redefining what it means to be human. And that's exactly my point about science and values. Before we undertake that research, we need to discuss these values. I am passionate about science. My first degree is in physics. My postgraduate PhD work in information science. In the early days of my career, I was a science writer. Most of my early scholarly work is on the history of Islamic science. I'm passionate about science. And the question for me was, why is that a society that was passionate about science in the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th century seems to have absolutely no appreciation or love of science today? And after thinking about it and traveling around the Muslim world and talking to people, I came to the conclusion that basically contemporary Muslim societies did not see science as it exists today as having any direct bearing to them. And I thought the only way to do that is to bring the Islam into equation, to say, look, your values can be reflected in science.
But what's so interesting about what you're saying is that most outsiders, and for instance, historians of science who try to understand why there's been this decline in science in Muslim countries would point to just the opposite reason, that there was too much Islamic thinking, that religious orthodoxies took over and a certain conservative, overly religious brand of Islam discouraged the spirit of free inquiry and actually required scientific research to fit religious beliefs. I mean, I think the criticism there is that Muslim scientists couldn't separate themselves from religion.
I think this is slightly kind of reductive view. But even if we accept this view, this does not undermine the basic teachings of the Quran and the basic teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. You know, the Quran says, you know, go out and study nature. And it doesn't say that one place. It says that again and again. The Prophet said that the ink of the scholar is worth more than the blood of the martyr. The Prophet said, go and study. So knowledge and reason are at the center core of Islam. You cannot say that the teachings of Islam are against science. In fact, my argument is that you cannot have Islam without science.
Hmm. So does part of this project then require going back to the Quran and looking at what the Quran says about
science?
That's
precisely what it does not require. And unfortunately, that is what has happened. Most Muslims, unfortunately, and some of these are university academics and thinkers, when they think of Islam, they immediately think of Quran, and they think that Islamic science is finding science in the Quran. Quran is not a book of science. It's a book of guidance. Its revelation is not about science. The question is, can science come back to Islam?
What would it take to do that?
What it would take is a profound conceptual shift. I mean, if it was simply a question of money, for example, then Saudi Arabia has a hell of a lot of money and they've bought all the science in the world, yet nobody would describe them as remotely a scientific culture. It's not a question of just money. It's not just a question of, you know, government supporting research. The Muslims need to rethink Islam itself. The concepts like ijtihad, sustained reasoning, the concept of what is ilm or what is knowledge, so that science then comes back to the center of Islam. I think it has to be. Knowledge, understanding, they have to be at the core of any Muslim society. And so I don't see contemporary Muslim societies as really Muslim societies. I mean, they are societies consisting of Muslims, but they are not coherent Muslim society.
Ziauddin Sadar is a London-based scholar and cultural critic. His memoir is called Desperately Seeking Paradise, Journeys of a Skeptical Muslim.